So, Parajan Dom started off by saying, may I have permission from Longpo Anand and the Sangha to speak on the Dhamma, and blessings to all of the lay people who are listening, those of merit and goodness. So the last time I gave a teaching at the Ubosato Hall during one of these retreats, so I talked about loving kindness and compassion, metta, karuna, and also a bit about mudita and upekkha. So today I'd like to talk following on from that Dharma talk that I gave there. And I think maybe many of you here now were listening to that talk as well. So I'll give some examples of the teachings that Longpo Anand has given and the ways that I've used that, and to give that as proof that these teachings, when we receive them, when we put them into practice, that they do give us results. That if we do them, then they lead us to goodness. So my mother offered the land for the monastery that I am establishing 3 years ago. And so I'll talk a bit about mudita then. Some mudita, called sympathetic joy. It's finding joy, finding happiness in the goodness and the happiness, the good fortune of other people. So people may ask, well, why is it that we should have mudita for the people around us, for our family, for our relatives? And there's one couple, it's husband and wife, who have been coming to the monastery ever since it was just first established, ever since it was just a piece of land and I was living there in a very simple hut. And they come and make merits, offer food, and they had a car and they would take me here to Wat Mapchan, and they've done that many times. Really supported me in the monastery in many ways. But there was one thing that they felt a little bit disappointed by. And they have two children, two sons, but both of them don't really have an interest in Buddhism. They had no wish to ordain. But their parents both have a lot of faith. Faith to come into the monastery, faith to be making offerings and helping out. And so they had that wisdom to do that as well, to be able to be creating merit on a consistent way. But just 2 weeks ago, their youngest son, who initially had no intention of ordaining, he came to me, he phoned me and said that he wants to ordain. And when he said that to me, I felt really deep in my heart this sense of happiness, gladness, that he had decided to do that. And so I thought to myself then that, well, it's because of all of the merit and the goodness that his parents have been doing that has allowed him to change from one who has no interest in ordaining as a monk to someone who is becoming interested now. And then just 2-3 days ago, he came to Wat Mapchan here and paid respects to Longpo Anand and asked if he could ordain. And Longpo gave his permission. I was very happy with that. And so this is a really skillful and a good thing that he's decided to do something really worthy of much happiness. And it's probable he'll ordain later on this month. So if you have the time, you're still here, you're welcome to join in that ordination ceremony and feel gladness and joy, mudita, in his good deeds as well. So this was one thing that had come up. And the second story I'd like to tell you about is about a Malaysian monk here called Kruba Weishen. So maybe many of you know him. He's sitting with us right now. And he came to stay with me at my monastery with the intention to learn to recite the Patimokkha, the 227 rules of the monastic code by heart. So this Patimokkha is something that the monks get up and recite fortnightly, and something that you have to recite without kind of looking at a book, just from memory. And in 4 or 5 months, he was able to memorize that. So each day at 3 p.m., we would get together, myself and Kruba Weishen, and I would kind of revise, or he would chant, and I would check what he was chanting to see whether it was correct or not. And doing that every single day, I could see just how much effort, focus, sincerity, and forbearance was required to be able to memorize that very long chant. So sometimes we would get together at 3 p.m. and he would have just remembered one sentence extra from the last day. And some days he would have remembered a number of rules already. Some days he had forgotten everything that he had tried to remember. And so at some days feeling very happy, at other days feeling dejected and disheartened. But he still had this sincerity to carry on chanting, to carry on memorizing this. And so this is similar to our meditation practice. And as Longpo Anan says, that if we feel like sitting meditation isn't working, then we can chant. But we need to be sincere to be able to do that as well. So I could see with Kruba Weishen that on some days he was happy with his progress, on other days he was upset, but he didn't give in. And each day we would gather together at 3 and go through the chanting. And I could see this steady development until the end. After about 3.5 or 4 months, he was able to chant this already. And when he was able to chant the whole thing, I felt this great mudita for him, a lot of gladness and happiness, that he persisted with this until after 4 months he could chant the entire thing. And so this is the second story I'd like to tell you to give you all some energy to your heart, some encouragement. So another thing is, it's been 2 or 3 years since I went to establish this monastery, and the number of people coming into the monastery is steadily growing. In the beginning it was just a very few number of people, but now it's more and more, and it's become like a little society, a little community, people coming together and offering food, doing the morning chanting together, doing the evening chanting together, and discussing Dhamma with me together. And so as this has grown and there's this community that's developed, you can see that it's really a community of goodness, a community where there's much joy and happiness between one another. And so seeing that, seeing how this community is growing and the happiness that they have, I also feel a happiness for them as well. But really the most important thing is what all of you are doing here. So coming to meditate, and that you've traveled from overseas to be here. So seeing all of you, there's a great gladness that I feel. And from what you're doing, this will help to the Buddhist asana, this Buddhist religion, to develop into the future. Because there are so many people who don't have any interest in doing what you're doing. But still, you have come all this way to be meditating and practicing. And so this is something really worthy of rejoicing and finding happiness in. And so this is, again, about mudita. So we can then move on to upekkha then. So upekkha is equanimity. So not long ago, there was something that came up, that a monk, Ajahn Jnanadipo, he was organizing an image pouring, and he asked for Lumpur Opat to be the monastic leader in the chanting and the ceremony of pouring that image. And also Longpo Anan was going to go as well. And so the plan was then that before going to that ceremony, that he would rest at my monastery. So he would come and spend the night there. And there would be maybe just one or two monks with him, a few lay people coming as well. And so I told the lay people in the monastery, my lay supporters, those very close supporters, that it's possible that Lumpur Anan will come and stay with us. And also there'll be some monks and some lay people as well. And so we need to prepare the place. And we did that preparation with a lot of happiness and gladness to the fullness of our abilities. And then I heard that probably Ajahn Larry will come and stay with us, and I felt happy with that as well. So we carried on preparing for their arrival. So every now and then, Lumpur Anan would phone me and would ask how things are going. So we carried on working, putting a lot of effort into that, helping one another. And there were two other monks, Ajahn Set, who were helping me as well. And they're all really putting in a lot of energy and effort. And many lay people were helping out with the faith in their heart. But in the end, would you know that it was really a Nichan, this very unsure, very uncertain thing, that the plan was before he was going to come to my monastery, he would go to Wat Nombapong for an annual meeting that the monks have there. And this is a really important meeting and one that Lumpur Anan goes to every year without fail. But just before he was due to travel there, he got diarrhea, and so he didn't go. So when I heard about that, then I thought, well, there's still a chance that he'll come and visit us, maybe 50% chance. Maybe he come, maybe he won't. And then we heard that Lumpur Pat had cancelled his trip to the image pouring ceremony. He wasn't going anymore, and so Lumpur Anan would then be the leader of that ceremony. So I thought, well, maybe there's a good chance that he'll be going on this trip then. But as time passed, it turned out that he cancelled the trip altogether because his health just wasn't up to it. So we see how this is anicchang, something uncertain. And so even though there was some sadness, still people had really helped to prepare with the fullness of their hearts, with a lot of faith, thinking that we're doing this for our teacher. And so this was then an opportunity to develop upekkha, then to bring up this quality of equanimity. And so the people who I had, the lay people who I had told that he would come when it was time to phone them up and to say that he wasn't coming anymore, and those people who had helped to prepare, it was really hard to resign my heart to that or to accept that internally. And so this is something that needs to practice with further, need to cultivate the mind further to be able to have upekkha, this equanimity, even under that situation. And so this is a story about upekkha, about equanimity then, and something coming from my experience. And so another thing I'd like to tell you about is a lay person who's coming to the monastery, who had a restaurant and would feel quite very happy when coming into the monastery. But in just the week that had passed by, this person's grandmother passed away. And the lay person was very, very close to their grandmother. So they invited me to the funeral, and in the end, when I went there, they invited me to give a talk at the funeral, because this lay disciple was very close. So I said that I'm intent to come here to this funeral, and I probably can't help you with much with regards to the work here, but I probably can help with regards to your hearts and lifting your hearts up. So I told them about how that if someone who is very close to us passes away, and then we feel very sad. If it's someone who's not so close, then we don't feel very much, but if they have a really close connection to us, then there's a lot of grief that can come up. It's something that can really hit our hearts very hard. But I said that we should think a bit further about this, or use this as an opportunity to consider those people close to you who are still left. And have we acted in good ways towards them yet? Have we treated them well? So like a mother, a father. So this is a good thing to consider so that we don't be careless. And something that Lumpur Anan had told me recently as well, just before I came here, he said, don't be careless. And so when I heard that, what I thought about was, well, have I acted well yet? Have I done my best yet? So another story I'd like to tell you is about, another thing I'd like to talk about is about developing the four Brahma Viharas. So these qualities of kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity. And these are things that if we cultivate them consistently, then as Lompo Anan says, they will support us in our samadhi practice, making it easier for us to develop samadhi, and that samadhi that we have will stay for a long time. And that's because the mind is able to be in this state of peace, that those four qualities, they bring about a firmness to the peace in our mind. And then when we meet problems in our life, in the world, we're able to solve those problems. Or if we choose to use that in terms of contemplation, and then we can use that piece to develop vipassana, this insight, and that can take us to fixing this problem of suffering. So as Lumbu Cha says, that peace will lead to the arising of wisdom. And Lompo Anan has said that we need to practice until we get to the point where we reach peace. So there's something I'd like to talk about, something which previously I had only done a little bit, but recently I've been doing a lot, which is planting trees. And many people have told me that if you get good at planting trees, then you'll be able to progress in your meditation very quickly, because the two activities are very similar. And so there are some important things to planting trees. And initially I thought that water was the most important thing. But afterwards I realized that what's most important is the soil. And so this soil is the foundation that allows the trees to be able to grow well. And when I was planting these trees, I really got the feeling that having good soil is very close, very similar to having a peaceful mind. And maybe before we wouldn't realize, well, how is soil something good? And how is it something that's important? Maybe we're not aware of that, and perhaps we aren't aware too much of our minds. Then we look at our minds and see, well, are they sad? Are we feeling upset, dejected? And what do we need to be giving to our minds today? And so, like looking at the soil, well, what does the soil need? Does it need more moisture? Does it need more fertilizer? If the tree is close to dying, then what can I do to bring it back to life and help it to grow well? And so this caring for our hearts, it's very close to looking after trees and making sure that the soil is in a good state. And so we need to try to reach this point. And even though the peace within our minds may not be there consistently, whatever happens, we should look at our minds and see, well, what can we do to bring that peace up? And how can we make that peace firm within our mind? So probably many people here are quite impatient, and I too am someone who is impatient. So when planting these trees, we planted some of them just as very small trees, and some of them were quite large when we planted them, others big trees when we planted them. And from the big trees that we planted, one is still alive, but the other fell over and is dead already. But we observed that the trees that we planted, just as small trees, as saplings, that they are steadily growing and developing. And so people have asked, well, what level do we need to meditate to until we can say that it's our meditation is good already? And Lompa Anan had answered that, well, it's like a tree, and for a tree to be good, it needs heartwood. And for that to happen, it takes 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And we need to be looking after those trees, need to be caring for them, and we need to be caring for our hearts well. So yesterday, Lompa Anan, he taught that if we care for our hearts, then we will reach peace. And so when we're doing that, then we're cultivating that, then we're cultivating our barami and spiritual virtues. And if we just carry on doing that, then we will reach that point for sure. So lastly, I'd like to express the mudita, the joy that I find in all of you coming here to practice. And I hope that all of you gain heartwood for your hearts. And may you all meet with the peace that you're seeking out.